Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
I'm your other co-host, Darren Patterson.
And this week, because Saturday Night Live is off, we are going to talk about the Thanksgiving special that they did on Wednesday, November 21st, 2018.
Yes, because anybody could talk about the new episode, but it takes a SNL nerd to talk about the reruns.
Well,
to do clip shows.
I mean, I part of the reason I thought it would be fun to do this was because it gives us a chance to talk about some of the older sketches to some of the older cast members that we don't get the opportunity to talk about normally.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
So, and this was a mammoth special. It was a 2-hour primetime special.
Yeah, oof. Good lordy, Lou.
Yeah, when I suggested we do it, I was assuming it was going to be like an hour.
No, they give you all the Thanksgiving leftovers this time.
I think NBC just had a lot of time to fill on Wednesday, so they're like, screw it, let's put it more Thanksgiving sketches.
Yeah, and there were a couple of sketches I noticed they put in there that really didn't have anything to do with Thanksgiving. But
there were a couple, yeah.
They were just like, oh, why is this here?
But there were a couple. You know, actually, I went on the YouTube channel for SNL, and they had some sort of playlist of Thanksgiving stuff. And I think it was like literally 57 sketches, something like that.
Good gravy.
Yeah. I mean the show's been on for 44 years, so.
Yeah, you're going to get like a big, massive load.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
The special literally could have been like 4 hours long if they wanted to show every Thanksgiving thing they've ever done.
Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Anyway, so you want to dive in?
Yeah, let's dive. Okay. I think I missed a little bit at the beginning. So, like,
you bastard.
I'm sorry. I have things to do.
You son of a bitch.
I had to use the bathroom.
All right, I'll allow it this time. So I guess I'll start. The show opened with a sketch from a show where Luke Wilson was hosting. They did a Debbie Downer sketch.
Yeah.
Where Debbie Downer was sitting down for dinner with her family, and that's a tongue twister in the making. Debbie Downer was sitting down for dinner.
Debbie Downer sitting down for dinner. Down for dinner?
Yeah, down. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sitting down for dinner.
So this was from I don't know, maybe about 10 years back. We had Amy Poehler, Seth Meyers, Fred Armisen, Horatio Sanz, and Rachel Dratch as Debbie Downer. So, yeah, the basic formula of Debbie Downer is...
Yeah, says downer things.
She says downer things that kind of kill the conversation and depresses everyone around her.
Yeah.
I like this sketch. I thought it was... The first one they did of Debbie Downer was the funniest, where she's at Disneyland and everyone
where
breaks.
Everybody, yes, that's like epic at this point.
It's I mean, that's...
Because, like, I remember that sketch. That's the one I think Lindsay Lohan was hosting or something like that.
Yeah.
And, like, literally everybody broke, and there were...
Uh-huh.
There were like a good couple of seconds where like no one was telling a joke
because
everyone was just laughing.
Yeah, and even Rachel Dratch, you know, who is supposed to stay pretty deadpan, she was just like, "Well, it's official. I can't have children." And then she just but it was endearing when they broke that way. I mean, I thought this was fine. It was a solid sketch.
Yeah.
There was a weird shot where the camera like accidentally zoomed in on the turkey when it was supposed to zoom in on her.
I've noticed that like there's a couple times where there's the zoom in kind of goes off a little bit.
Yeah,
because it's one of those things where, you know, when she says something like a downer and you go womp womp, like the cameraman has to be there at the right time to zoom in.
Because they zoom in,
Because actually, I saw earlier. This morning I was watching some old SNL episodes, and there was a one where
sad.
It is, yeah, it is. But like there was one where she was at a wedding reception, and Steve Carell was hosting.
Okay,
and like she was there with some friends at the wedding reception, and Steve Carell was another downer guy called Bob Bummer.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it was that both of them saying downer things and kind of getting into each other,
right?
And like a lot of times the camera like zoom in too soon or zoom in not quick enough. It was one.
That's unusual because you don't usually see that many technical screw ups on SNL.
Yeah, no, from time to time. I mean, there was the one last year with the green screen and Pete Davidson's face.
Yeah, no, true.
It happens. You know, it's late at night and people get tired.
And it's a live show and they put it together in very short amount of time.
Yes, very true. We thank you for your service.
So let's see. Next, they did the opening of the show, and then they went to Paul Simon in the turkey outfit.
Okay.
Still crazy after all these years.
That I missed.
Which I actually just saw that recently because a few weeks back they reran that Paul Simon episode.
Oh, nice.
With it was Paul Simon and George Harrison was the musical guest, and they did a nice little duet. George, so George I was like, Harrison. Oh, well, this again. I saw this like a month ago, but, you know, it's still funny.
Okay. But, George Harrison. Yeah. Well, rest in peace. But yeah, wow, he's like still crazy after all these years in a turkey suit.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those like quintessential classic SNL images.
Yeah,
I think. That's one of those really memorable things from those early years.
Yeah, and then you kind of remember like, oh wow, Paul Simon's been down with Saturday Night Live like for years, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that reminds you of like, wow, he was there since he was a youngish man.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Makes you think.
Next, let's see, there was a fake commercial, well, not a fake commercial, it was a filmed sketch from a few years ago where everyone's at Thanksgiving and they're disagreeing about politics, and then, the granddaughter plays the Adele song, Hello from the Other Side, and everyone just bonds over that, and they're all singing along with it.
Oh, shoot, I missed that one, too.
Do you remember that one?
Kinda, yeah. Like, so everybody bonds over Adele.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's singing. And as it goes on, we're seeing people, like, wearing Adele wigs, and they've got, like, Adele fingernails. And, I mean, everyone from A.D. Bryant to Jay Farrow.
Oh, wow. Maybe I don't remember that one.
And, the only thing I can think of is that most everybody in the SNL offices must have just been jamming out to that Adele album at the time.
I think so, yeah. I mean, and also at the time, like, I remember hearing that Adele song everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Adele was, I mean, she's still
huge.
She's still huge, but, like, she's, like, when she first came out, there was this thing where she exploded. So, like, she was, like,
yeah,
kind of everywhere. Like, that. She had that, like, Lady Gaga type of year where you just hear her everywhere and just everyone loved her.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone still loves her. I shouldn't say, like, in the past tense, like, she's, you know, on the downslide or nothing.
She just hasn't come out with anything in a little while, right?
Yeah, that's true. She's like laying low, but you know, she shall arise again like a phoenix from the ashes.
I'm sure she's out there somewhere getting romantically traumatized for more material.
That's right. So stay tuned, guys.
Best to you, Adele.
That's right.
Because we all know Adele listens to this podcast.
Yes, of course. Hey, Adele, what's going on?
Hi, Adele.
What's going on, girl?
Yeah. Thanks for those PMs you sent us, by the way.
PMs? Like, okay.
Or DMs, or
it's DM.
Well, sometimes it's PM for a private message.
Oh, is it? Oh, right. Wow. All right. Well,
on some formats, right?
I always just know it as DM. It's PMs too.
Well, I think DM is more popular now, but
slide my DMs.
But
I thought it was just DM, not PM.
Okay.
I don't know. One of us is mistaken, I guess, but.
I've heard PM for private messaging as a thing.
All right.
Well, personally.
This is how we learn.
Back me up on this, Adele.
Yes. Call in, Adele. You have the hotline number.
Call in to the show that we say right at the beginning is taped.
What? Don't. Ugh. Yeah, all right. Yes. But, you know, whatever, man. I don't know.
Are you frustrated now that I pointed out the logical flaw in your joke?
Yes, I am. How dare you?
Okay. All right, moving on.
Call in the hotline.
Moving on. This was a sketch, I guess, from sometime late 90s, maybe. It was Juliana Margulies. She's with Chris Parnell's family for Thanksgiving dinner. And Chris Parnell's family.
Oh, yeah, this is where I came back in.
They have to pre-chew his food.
Yes, because Chris Parnell doesn't have, he has no saliva. So,
And Will Ferrell. His teeth are like chalk.
Yes. So Will Ferrell and his family members have to chew his food for him and spit it into his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually do that.
Yes.
They spit food into his mouth, and it's pretty disgusting.
Will Ferrell, like, chews the food and spits it into Chris Parnell's mouth several times.
No CGI. It's actual food going into an actual... Well, yeah, I don't think
it's a live show.
It's a live show. I don't know how live works, all right? You say pre-taped show. I don't know how these things work, all right? I'm sorry. I'm not all technically advanced like you are knowing about tapes and live.
Okay, Darren, I'm going to just take a minute and explain the basics of the show.
Please.
The show is called Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
So it airs on Saturday nights.
You lost me.
Oh. And it is also live, which means it is happening while we were watching it.
Oh, okay.
Typically. This show, that was not the case, because these were old sketches that they had recorded and they were rerunning.
Okay.
So.
Okay. When will then be now?
Soon.
There you go. Oh, wow. If you guys, well, I'm not even going to explain that joke.
No.
But if you got it, you got it.
Just let it lie there.
Yes. But yeah, back to this disgusting sketch.
Back to the disgusting sketch.
Yeah, like my wife came in and saw it. She's like, that's really gross.
Had she seen it before?
I don't think so, but like it's a sketch. I don't remember seeing it, but
I remember
it's a sketch. Like if you have like a weak stomach or a gag reflex,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, why there were? It wasn't like gross out for gross out's sake,
mm-hmm.
but it was pretty gross.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things. You wonder like what the pitch meeting was like, or if they proposed that to a few different hosts before Juliana Margulies finally said yes.
Yeah,
because at the end of the sketch, Juliana Margulies, she's understandably
repulsed and horrified.
Yeah. And she's like, how can you do this? And they're like, well, we have to do this. He has no saliva glands.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? And then she finally accepts her boyfriend's condition. And then she chews up a bit of apple pie from the little brother and spits it into Chris Kattan's mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's pretty... I mean, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like, you have to be a pretty... like okay with like as a guest host to be spitting food and other it makes me wonder, did they pitch that to other people and they were like, no, that's gross.
I feel like they had to run that through a few people before Juliana Margulies.
If you hosted SNL, would you do that sketch?
Well, see, I mean, the way the sketch is constructed, the host only has to do it once, and really, all you're doing is you're chewing some food and you're spitting it into somebody else's mouth.
Yeah.
It would be much worse to have the food spit into your mouth.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, actually, this reminds me a little of a story from my own life.
Here we go. Oh, wow.
I was
were born without saliva glands.
No. I went to a summer camp. This was right before I moved from, like, I moved around a lot as a kid. My family, we moved from Alabama to Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
And before we moved, my folks signed me up for like a summer camp somewhere in the area, thinking like I could make some friends before I went to the new place.
Okay.
And of course, I never saw any of those people ever again.
Gotcha.
We had like the variety show thing where each cabin does their own little skit or
sketches.
The guys in my cabin, and these were guys that they knew each other from way back, from summer after summer, and they might have known each other in their lives. I don't know. They did a thing where somebody was taking a swig of mouthwash and then they spit it into a cup, and then the next guy came over and like took a swig of mouthwash from the same cup and spit it back in. And
All right.
So by the end of this, it was like all backwash, basically.
Yeah.
And then the big gag at the end was one guy, he's like taking a swig of mouthwash and he's in a hurry and he swallows it. So.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure how that works as a sketch, but okay.
You know, we're like 14, 15, something like that. So this is the height of humor.
It's hilarious.
Exactly. As I said, I didn't really know any of these people. I was not particularly friends with any of them.
Yeah, you don't want to.
I was like, you know what, guys? I don't think I want to do this. And they were like, okay. And they did it without me, which is fine.
Yeah.
And then the end of the week or whatever it was at camp, they gave out like mock awards. And they gave me the Good Taste Award for refusing to drink spit with the other guys.
I stood my ground. Well done, sir.
So that was my story.
No, that's great. You didn't like fall into line and fall into peer pressure.
I guess so. I guess that's good.
I will not drink backwash.
Yeah.
Sir. Not for you or anyone.
I still don't think I would do that.
I doubt it.
Like, the SNL thing.
I don't
chewing think. Somebody else's food. I don't know, man.
That's really gross.
It is kind of
like
gross.
I mean, I have a pretty strong tolerance for like, you know, gross out humor and stuff that's really gross.
That's just nasty.
It's nasty. It's unhygienic. It's just ew.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't like
But I admire them for going there.
Yeah.
For, I mean, especially Juliana Margulies, because she probably didn't get called to do that too much at ER.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
I don't see there's an episode where, like, this man is going to die if you don't spit food into his mouth.
I would watch that episode of ER, though, where, like, George Clooney just regurgitates into Juliana Margulies' mouth.
Oh, that's like during the lovemaking scene.
They were kinky like that.
Yeah. 9.5 weeks.
That's an interesting question. I never thought of whether or not I would do it.
Stood up at night thinking about that?
No.
Would I?
It's not a question I think I would do it if it was like, say, you know, Will Ferrell's side, where because you're just chewing and you're spitting out the food, and what happens to it after, that's not really your concern.
Yeah, I guess not. But you're like they're chewing it, they swallow it too, because they talk afterwards, right? So you are swallowing regurgitated food.
Unless they had like some sort of spit bucket and they were like cutting away very skillfully, but I think that would kill the sketch if the live audience could see them discreetly spitting it out or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember seeing a spit bucket or seeing them go like, you know, ducking their head.
The real MVPs in that are Chris Parnell and Chris Kattan.
Yeah, for actually swallowing.
Yeah.
Wow, we're getting really into the weeds on this one sketch.
I know, but you brought it up. And really made me think about the question.
Yeah, wow. Well, guys, call in and let us know what you'd want to do.
So maybe we should move on. Let's see. There was
the Kevin Nealon, Adam Sandler.
Kevin Nealon weekend update, and Adam Sandler comes on and he sings his Thanksgiving song.
Yeah, turkey for me and a turkey for you.
Yeah.
Can't believe Tyson gave.
What'd you think of this?
Speedy. I thought it was cute. I mean, was this before or after the big Hanukkah song? I'm trying to think, like, if this was because, like,
Thanksgiving comes before Hanukkah, so I mean,
from last year or something.
I don't know.
I don't know how holidays work either. All right,
That was a big thing though, because like Adam Sandler would come on Weekend Update and he'd just play a song on the guitar.
Yeah.
Probably something he made up that afternoon.
Yeah, they're I mean, all the songs are pretty kind of easy and, like, you know, catchy and cute and stuff. But, like, I know the Hanukkah song was a huge hit. They still play it.
I like the Hanukkah song.
Yeah.
And, like, this one, not so much, personally.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, I hear you. But, like, it was one thing where the Hanukkah song was such a huge hit, I figured they just said, all right, he has to make a song for every holiday now.
Yeah.
Like Thanksgiving and Halloween and Arbor Day and whatever.
Sandler singing on Weekend Update, that was like one of their go-tos for a while.
Yeah.
In like the early 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, you know, he was likable. He still is likable. But he was, like, you know, likable and, you know, just cute little funny little songs. It was all right. Yeah, the song was okay.
I did like how he had Kevin Nealon join in. That was
cute. Exactly. And it made like a nice little back and forth pal-around thing.
I didn't like this song too much particularly. I do like the Hanukkah song, and I like the song, the Red Hooded Sweatshirt song.
Oh, yeah. Red Hooded Sweatshirt.
Dip, dip, dip. Because I liked Kevin Nealon joining in on that one again, and I also liked they cut away to the audience, and Paul McCartney, like, joins in.
Yeah. It's like, Paul McCartney's in the audience?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. But, yeah.
Well, he was, like, the musical guest.
Oh, okay.
So.
He wasn't just walking around the halls of
I don't think they
studio.
Called him in just for the cameo. Well, but that would be impressive.
Paul McCartney, we will fly you in for a little brief cameo. Oh, I'm in.
Yeah. So I don't know what else you can say.
I don't have much to say about it. It's a cute little sketch, and you know, he's a funny guy.
And it's related to Thanksgiving, so.
Yeah, that's related to Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one I saw was Anne Hathaway's sketch with... I guess Kristen Wiig with Penelope, who likes to, like, one up people.
Right. Yeah. She would always, like, be playing with her hair.
Yeah.
And, like, speaking in a little quiet voice. Well, I did this thing and I did.
Yeah. So,
like, you know, if we were talking about how we have a podcast, she'd be like, well, I have 6 podcasts.
So,
you know, so that's a little better than you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about this sketch. I mean, it's kind of one note, but it's.
Yeah. It was one of those things that kind of reminded me that, of why I got a little sick of Kristen Wiig on the show. Because I think Kristen Wiig is a very talented person,
right?
And she was great, but she really dominated the show the last couple of years.
She really
was there.
Like the fact that, like, when her last show, they had like Mick Jagger sing to her.
Yeah,
and
it was also like Jason Sudeikis and Sandberg's last show.
Yeah, and like they didn't,
and they didn't do a thing for all three of them. No, it was like just let's celebrate Kristen Wiig for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it made me think: when have they ever done that for any former cast member's last day?
I remember them doing a thing when I think it was like Will Ferrell's last show.
What did they do for
him? I remember like at one bit, the cast members coming on and giving like almost testimonials about how awesome Will Ferrell was. And I remember Chris Parnell saying like, I was actually fired from this show. And then Will like went to Lorne and was like, you should really bring Chris Parnell back.
Really? Wait, that's like real talk?
Yeah. He was like, real talk. I was fired from this show. And then Will Ferrell went to bat for me and he got me back on.
I don't remember that at all. Holy.
Yeah. I don't know if that's on the internet somewhere, but...
That sounds pretty cool. Like, mm-hmm. How did I get this get past me?
I don't know. Maybe you happened to miss that one. Maybe you did remember it.
I don't remember. I got some homework
but
to do.
That's the main thing I remember from it because I was just like, oh wow, Chris Parnell was fired from the show and he like admitted that.
And they broadcasted on the show and everything. Wow, mm-hmm. put it mm-hmm. business out there,
but
on these streets.
But the Penelope sketch.
Penelope,
it was fine. Another one of Kristen Wiig's characters that talks out of the side of her mouth.
Yeah, like that's the thing about Kristen Wiig. I mean, I know like a lot of people like her, and she's good, but she does do that thing a lot, that go to where she just plays like a very quirky character.
Mm,
quirkiness is like her big go to where she's What else did she do?
She did the Target Lady.
She
did the, we're going to get to him later, the Garth and Kat.
Garth and Kat. That woman that who can't, like, gets too overexcited when she's supposed to keep a secret.
Yes.
Like, oh my
God.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes. Like there was the, oh, please don't make me sing, lady.
Yeah, exactly.
I think probably my favorite character, Kristen Wiig, was the one who was always on Password. Who was like this Broadway actress?
Oh yeah,
and she would just
cool.
give like really stupid clues or give it away.
Oh right, yeah, that was good.
I found that character consistently funny.
Yeah, I did like when she does Kathy Lee Gifford.
Her Kathy Lee Gifford was great. Yeah.
All right, so maybe she doesn't deserve all.
Well, like I said, I mean, she's a talented, funny person, and I totally get why she became as huge as she did on the show.
Right.
I just personally like her last couple of years. I got a little tired of.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Because she was in pretty much every sketch.
Yeah, she was there. She was the Kate McKinnon of her time.
Yeah, well, I think even more than Kate McKinnon, she was kind of dominating the show. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I haven't gotten sick of Kate McKinnon yet.
No, I haven't either. Kate's Kate's pretty great.
Yeah, but...
Kate the Great.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's right. Copyright.
Let's see. Next we had Anna Gasteyer as Martha Stewart.
Yeah,
doing a Thanksgiving special.
Yeah, like a pro America for all the documented, real Americans type of vibe. I thought it was okay, but like it was definitely. It's weird how like that something like that can kind of play today. Like it was very like pro America type of vibe thing.
Because I think it was in the early 2000s, so we were still in that sort of post 9/11,
right?
Rah-rah patriotism.
That's true. And but like still era. I think something that could play today too with today's political climate.
The one line I really liked that I wrote down was gives me a giant Martha boner. I don't know what gave her a giant Martha boner, but I just love that line.
Martha boner.
I always liked Anna Gasteyer's Martha Stewart. I thought she nailed her.
Yeah, it was really good. I also liked, I thought it was better, her Celine Dion. I thought that was...
Her Celine was good, yeah.
Really good. Like when she did that Celine Dion talk show. And it wasn't an exact Celine Dion impression, but it was kind of like... It was just like sort of heightened, like, you know, hello, I am Celine Dion. Like, I don't know, I got a kick out of it.
Doing the French-Canadian accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably her Martha Stewart was my favorite of hers.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Also like the NPR host they did on the
Delicious Dish. Oh, yeah, of course.
Dish.
No beating my
sweaty
balls.
Yeah.
Oh, we should talk about it. We'll probably talk about that on the Christmas.
I guess so. They're probably going to do some Christmas show.
That came out around Christmas, right?
Yeah, because it was a holiday-themed thing. Yeah. They were wearing Christmas sweaters, and the sweaty balls, I think, had the festive Christmas sprinkles on them.
Right. All right. So
we'll... Or jimmies, whatever you call them. Yeah,
I call it sprinkles. Oh, some people call it jimmies, right?
The sprinkles. Yeah. I never heard jimmies until years ago, but...
I think it's like a regional thing, isn't it?
I think it's got to be, yeah. Well, but
over here, we call them sprinkles.
Yeah. I think personally my
favorite... It's soda, it's not pop, and it's sprinkles.
I would agree with all that. Cosine.
Merca.
Yeah. I think my favorite Anna Gasteyer, Martha Stewart sketch had to be the topless Christmas special, though.
Oh, yeah.
That I think was classic.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because where she's just, and it was like a film thing, and you just see her like wandering through the woods with like a scarf and a hat, but she's topless, and she's like pixelated out, of course, right. Like in her...
Yeah, and everybody around her is like, what the f-?
And everyone's staring strangely.
As you do.
And at the end, she like they start playing Jingle Bells, and Anna Gasteyer just starts shaking.
Yeah, just shaking what she got.
Yeah. I mean, it's very juvenile, but it was very funny.
Sometimes juvenile is funny.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely. Right.
Then the Nike Turkey commercial.
Yeah, Chris Rock's my man Chris music Rock. Video. And it was sort of shot in the style of like, you know, Fresh Prince era Will Smith video. Yeah.
Like if you came up in the 90s and you remember like the opening theme to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and all those kind of like early 90s, late 80s, you know, hip hop videos and, you know, Nike commercials, you got what the tone they were going
for. And
this
was like the era where you had the Air Jordans, which their gimmick was they had that little pump.
Right. See, I thought that was
at the top of the tongue where you just pump it, and then it would pump air into the soles and of your sneakers, and it would give you that boost.
Right. I thought it was a Reebok pump. I didn't.
Was it Reebok?
Yeah. It was like that's the thing that kind of took me by surprise. Like, oh, wasn't it Reebok pumps? And like,
then why were they called Air Jordans?
Exactly. They were because they're named after the Air Jordan, Mr. Jordan.
Michael, but his name Michael wasn't Jordan. Air. His name was Michael.
Michael, that's it. That's his name.
Well, wasn't that why they called him Air Jordans? Because you pumped air?
No, I think his nickname was just Air because he's always like in the air.
Oh, because he got a lot of height.
Yeah, and he flew through. Guys, call it.
I'm curious now. I'm curious.
I'm pretty sure it was, like, Air was like his nickname, or maybe it was a nickname Nike gave him in order to sell the sneakers.
Wow.
We don't know.
Have I been misremembering these sneakers all the time?
We don't know sports people. I'm
Googling Air Jordans now.
Okay. It was definitely Reeboks that had the pump. Because I remember I remember that because growing up they were like the coolest sneakers and like everybody had them and I couldn't afford them and I was wearing my, you know,
busted. It was like a status thing.
Yeah, very much so. Like I mean, Nikes were always a big status thing. Like you always had to have a nice. Crisp, clean pair of Nike Jordans, but if you couldn't, Reebok pumps were good too.
Okay,
like people wouldn't give you any guff.
But that was a very early '90s thing, and then they just suddenly stopped.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Like I was able to afford them when no one else had them.
Those were like the mood rings of the '90s.
Yeah,
you know?
Very much.
It was just like one. It was that thing that was like really trendy for a while, and then
it's just like, no, we're not doing that anymore.
Everyone was just like, wait, this is kind of stupid. Let's not do this.
It's the you know, pet rocks for your feet.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And next, oh God, it's the fucking Californians.
Okay, yeah, guys, we're going to go on a little bit of a rant on these Californian sketches.
We talked about the Californians.
Have we?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some more.
I mean, this is, I'm not going to describe the sketch because it's the Californians.
They're all the same.
It's fucking awful.
They're all the same.
It's
dropping F-bombs there, fella.
It's the worst SNL sketch ever.
Jeez, a loop.
I would watch Rob and Wendy Weiner on a loop
before
I'd watch the Californians.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God. I'm beside myself, sir. I agree with you. I'm with you. Like, as far as sketches go, it's not great, which is why I never understand why they keep bringing it back.
Yeah.
Because I can understand if it was a sketch that the audience really loves and really looks forward to, when a sketch comes on and it's like a recurring sketch, and the audience like applauds immediately before the sketch begins, like, oh hey, yay, it's a Wayne's World, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard the audience like go crazy over the
no,
like it's weird. Like
it never got much of a reaction. I always felt like it amused the SNL cast and writers more than it amused anybody else.
Yeah, very much so. It's like a sketch where every time they play it, like the audience like they give some laughs and it's kind of like middling, like, oh yeah, okay. And it never gets huge, big, like, we should definitely bring this sketch back laughs.
No.
And they keep bringing it back. Like, the audience clearly doesn't want it, but they keep bringing it back.
They did it. It had to be at least a half a dozen times. It felt like a dozen.
Yeah. They even They even put it into
The anniversary special.
I'm like, no one wants this. Why are you shoving this out? Yeah. Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Exactly. I mean, it's the fetch. Stop.
We don't want it. Stop it.
And what kills me is, like, during the anniversary show, at one point, you know, they had to act something out else. Yeah. And they would be like, oh, we better cut that so that we have time to do the Californians. You know, that was a sentence that had to be said at some point.
And
while
like,
they were prepping that show.
And it's like one thing, like the whole thing around the Californian sketch, like if you haven't seen it, it's basically like a soap opera. It's called The Californian.
Everyone's in bad blonde wigs. They're doing like Californian accents.
Yeah, and then they talk about like routes to get around town, like, which I guess
I take
some...
the 405 and then I cut off to this and then I do take a shortcut here. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've only... Oh my God, so much vitriol. Like, I mean, I've only been to California once in my life, so same. I don't... So, like, I guess I kind of get it. I guess that's what they do. I guess people just talk about routes to get around California all the time.
It is apparently a big California thing, but
like, is it a sketch that's funnier if you're from California or you live in California?
I think there are some people from California who do like that sketch.
Okay. Maybe.
And those people are wrong.
Wow. Whoa.
And
scorched the earth.
I mean...
Because it's like one of those things, like,
just the worst people.
Like, a lot of times they'll do sketches where you'll only get it if you live in New York or you're from New York.
Yeah, I mean, the show can be very New York centric at times.
So maybe that's for California. Maybe it's very just California.
I don't know. I fantasize about being there the day that they conceived that sketch and just punching everyone in the face.
Wow. Oh my God. This makes you violently angry.
I hate that sketch, man.
It's not.
I hate it.
No,
I hate it so much.
He's not crying, everybody. He's like laughing. It's like a laugh cry.
Oh,
this sketch broke you.
It's just so bad. It's so bad, and it never got any better. It wasn't one of those things where it starts out funny and then it gets really unfunny and then it comes back around again to funny. No, it never made that turn. It was just unfunny from beginning to end.
Yeah, like I expect there to be some type of turn or some type of twist in it to like kind of maybe make fun of itself, but it never really does that. It just kind of, you know, middles along.
And you know, like there used to be, at the end of their SNL's YouTube videos, when they'd post sketches to YouTube and stuff, they'd have that little thing at the end where it's like, you know, oh, please subscribe and all that. And they used to show like just a thing of the cast looking in the mirror like they would do at the end of the Californian sketch. And they're all like adjusting their hair
stuff.
And it was like a close-up of, I think, Kenan Thompson and Vanessa Bayer and a couple other people. And they're adjusting their blonde wigs. Right. Even just seeing that for those 2 seconds would fill me with rage.
Just flames on the side of my face.
Exactly. I would go into Mrs. White from Clue.
heavy.
I would get all Madeline Kahn about it.
It's not. Yeah. It's just, guys, if you feel like we're being too harsh on it,
we are not.
You can tweet us, but like you're we're on the right side of history.
I will die on this hill. The Californian sucks.
We're on the right side of history on this one. Yeah. It's just.
I mean. And like the people involved with it, I usually love them. Like, you know,
Hader's great.
Bill Hader, Taron Killam.
Yeah,
those are two of my favorites.
But this guy,
Fred Armisen, I'm hot and cold on. But
it just never goes anywhere. It's just wow. All right,
and they do that close up of everybody. And,
okay, all right, let's go to the next sketch. Let's try to bring back some semblance of sanity.
Next was the thing I liked. It was Fuzzy Memories by
Jack Handy. Oh my God! Like,
which was the real name of a real writer on SNL?
Yeah, Jack. I remember Jack Handy, like Deep Thoughts. Jack Handy,
consistently funny.
Yeah, I got to go back and watch his old Deep Thoughts because, like, I remember seeing that when I was a kid, and a lot of them I didn't quite get. I feel like I'd get it now, and like I'd find it way funnier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
This one was basically he remembers that his parents told him that for Thanksgiving they couldn't afford a turkey, and then he wakes up late at night and he goes downstairs and he sees his parents secretly eating
a turkey without them.
And that was it. That was his.
That, but
his
that's pretty
fuzzy
funny though.
Memories.
Yeah, yeah, I got a kick out of that one. It was a hoot. Jack Handy. You can never go wrong with Jack Handy.
Yeah, and
Okay. Then the next one was, what was the next one? It had a Josh Hutcherson.
Yes. I wrote down Hunger Games guy because I couldn't remember his name. I've never watched the Hunger Games movies personally.
The books are better.
Okay.
If you read, the books are great. The movies are pretty good, but the books, books are always better.
Yeah, but he hosted a few years back, and he comes home for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
With his new girlfriend, played by Vanessa Bayer, and she is a turkey.
Yes, in a turkey outfit.
A very impressive turkey outfit.
Yeah, it's pretty elaborate.
Yeah, just there in a turkey outfit. She had a little beak on her nose. She was kind of a cute turkey. I mean, as cute as somebody can be in a turkey outfit.
Is this your new fetish?
I don't think so.
Is this a thing for you now?
No. This didn't start a new fetish or anything.
Did this awaken something?
I mean, God knows I have enough.
Maybe can you put on this turkey outfit before we?
God, that would be a weird, make love. And complicated fetish.
It would be
to have
like I've spent a lot of money on this costume, so I just did you.
Yeah,
it's what I like. But then, yeah, it ended kind of oddly, but I mean, the premise of the sketch is he brings home his turkey girlfriend, and like, of course, the parents are serving turkey,
and they're horrified.
She's horrified,
and she tries to get past it.
Yeah, and then she's like, "No, I can't," and then she like runs out. But then it's like they cut to like an actual turkey running out the house.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
It was a weird one. It was fine. It was cute.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was,
it filled up time.
That's right. And sometimes that's all you really need.
That's all you're looking for. And the next one I liked a lot, the one was a family dinner, was like with Ferrell. Mm-hmm. And they did this before when, I think Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, I've forgotten they did this more than once.
Yeah, it was like basically like this family eating dinner, but it's like really quiet, and then there's this awkward tension, and all you hear is like the clanking of the plates and
I don't know what they did. Like, they must have had mics on all the silverware, because you just hear the clink, 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 and scraping of the silverware against the dishes, and it makes it sound all the more awkward and all the more quiet, because nobody's talking to each other.
Yeah.
And we had Gwyneth Paltrow and Amy Poehler as two like high school girls, and they're sort of like,
yeah, talking like the rap people.
They're getting all gangsta.
Yeah, and like it was just this awkward tension, and like Will Ferrell's father is saying, mm-hmm. "Oh yeah, I had an interesting day at work today."
Yeah, it's this ultra repressed white family.
Yes, very much so.
And then you have like Amy Poehler and Gwyneth Paltrow going like pop.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's like a huge fight, and then it goes back to being quiet again.
And they all start yelling. And this was like a genius thing, where Will Ferrell he consistently yells a little longer than anyone else, and he's on a total non sequitur by the end of the yelling thing.
Yeah, enough, because like when the first time, maybe it was the first time, or maybe the second, when Sarah Michelle was on it, they were just screaming over each other, and he had the last word, and he was like, "I drive a Dodge Stratus."
Yes,
and it's just a weird, like, what?
I feel like this is something that like that Will Ferrell and Adam McKay cooked up together. I don't know for sure who wrote this sketch, but it feels like an Adam McKay thing.
I could see that. Yeah, it's definitely like
it's got that sort of absurdity.
Yeah, I mean, if you know about, like, you know, if you ever had like those family dinners and there's always been tension, like, you know, like the mom wants everything to be okay, the dad is like just exploding.
And, and then all the repression just explodes out.
Yeah, and then it just goes back to being quiet again. Mm-hmm. If you ever had like a dinner like that, I like the sketch quite a bit.
I do too. I mean, like Amy Poehler doing gangster rap stuff is just always going to be adorable,
right? Exactly.
No matter what.
Yeah, and Penn Paltrow did her gangster.
Yeah, thing. And I remember Paltrow saying in like I think the Live from New York book that she was like, that's the beauty of hosting SNL, because like, when else am I going to get to play a part like that?
Yeah,
that's very nobody's true. No one else is going to put me in that part.
You know who'd be good for this teenage gangster rapper? Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow, who's like 32.
Yeah. She talks like the rap people. I don't know why that made me laugh when Will Ferrell was like, "You're like, why are you letting her talk like the rap people?"
Oh, did he say that?
He said the rap people. Like,
oh, that's great.
Like, you know, this. No, young girls shouldn't be talking like the rat people.
You gotta just love clueless white people, don't you?
You do.
Yeah. You do. In comedy sketches, at least.
In comedy sketches.
In life, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But, You guys, in comedy sketches, they're consistently funny.
They could be more woke in real life, but in comedy sketches, they're hilarious.
Next, we had Thanksgiving greetings from Tarzan, Tonto, and Frankenstein.
Oh, my God.
This is just one of my favorites because it's just so wonderfully stupid.
Yeah.
John Lovitz as Tonto, Kevin Nealon as Tarzan, and the late, great Phil Hartman as Frankenstein. And the joke was none of them can speak in more than broken English.
Exactly.
You know, the fire good, fire bad.
Yeah, and that's enough to carry a sketch. Like, and, it's one of those things like where you just like Tonto, Tarzan, and Frankenstein. How do they know each other? And like, I guess just the one connecting thing is they all speak in broken English, and
right.
that's enough to be like, all right, I buy this.
Well, and it's also such a great visual because you got Tonto in his Indian gear with the buckskins, and you got Tarzan in the loincloth,
right.
And the wig, and then you have Phil Hartman as Frankenstein. It's just and he's just a Boris Karloff Frankenstein. And just like unhinging his jaw and
what are you thankful for?
Oh God, I just love it. I just loved it so.
Classic.
And then next we have
Back Home Ballers.
Back Home Ballers was just from a year or two ago.
Yeah, not too long ago.
With host Cameron Diaz. She's singing with all the female cast members.
Right. It's kind of like a Pussycat Dolls type of
video. They're talking like the rap people.
Yeah,
I guess it was a little Pussycat Dolls-ish.
That's how I always saw it. Like Pussycat, like, you know, just a group of singers.
Yeah, I never made that connection, but I can totally see that. Basically, talking about how when you go home for Thanksgiving to your parents' place,
you get treated like a king.
You get treated like royalty. Yeah,
you don't have to worry about, you know, food and laundry. It's like, I start a laundry loan, just wash a sock.
Yes, and you don't have to worry about doing chores because your parents are waiting on you hand and foot. You got bowls everywhere. Bowls.
Which is like something a lot of people relate to, where like they go home for the holidays and they just kick back and relax, and this is like, I can be like a teenager again.
Yeah, because exactly, when you go back home with your parents, you fall back into those old patterns, no matter how old you are.
Exactly.
And I liked how the song just stopped dead at one point where Edie Bryant is taking out the garbage, and she has an awkward interaction with the neighbor.
Yeah, it's like, so how are you doing? Like,
so what's going on with you these days?
Things are good.
The same.
Yeah, things are good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good seeing you.
The neighbors, they know your parents well, but you barely know them, and you don't have much of anything to say. There's not much common ground.
Not at all.
Yeah, and I like this because it has like a little small truth to it.
Yeah, I also like how, like, when they introduce everybody, like, for some reason, 80 Brian's the only one with a nickname. They call it Little Baby 80.
Little Baby 80.
It's like, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
So next, then we had Leon Phelps, the ladies' man, Thanksgiving edition. Like, I don't know. How do you always felt about this character? Like,
I enjoyed the ladies' man. I liked it. I thought it was fun that Tim Meadows finally got a recurring character because that didn't happen until he was on the show for years.
Yeah. Well, when did he get that recurring character?
Gosh, I don't know. But, I mean, because Tim Meadows was one of those guys who was on the show for forever. Like going on a decade.
Wow.
Or something.
And then he finally got the ladies' man?
Huh. I mean, he was on the show for several seasons before the ladies' man became a thing.
Huh. All right.
I know.
But I always dug this as, you know, the dude in an afro and drinking Cavarsier talking about his wang and boning chicks.
That's all you need,
That's
really.
All you need. Classic That's comedy. All,
yeah.
I even liked the movie. I remember seeing the movie like years
ago.
I never
saw the movie.
The movie was good.
Was it?
It's solid. I mean, it has, you know, Will Ferrell's in that too.
I should check it out. I was thinking like for when the summer hiatus hits for SNL that maybe we should look at some of the SNL movies.
Oh, interesting.
Where they like spun off the characters. Because there was that time in the 90s to the early 2000s, like, I guess because Wayne's World was such a hit.
Yeah, then they were just like...
They tried to spin off every SNL character that they could.
Ladies
Man had a movie. They had... Pat had a movie.
Can we even find It's
they
Pat
gave,
anymore?
I don't know. They gave the Coneheads a movie.
Mary Catherine Gallagher got a movie.
Oh, God, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, that was okay. It wasn't...
It was Superstar, right?
Superstar, yeah. Night at the Roxbury guys.
Yeah.
We can even go back to watch Blues Brothers, too.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers 2000, I don't know.
Yeah.
But wow, maybe
I've never
should...
seen Blues Brothers 2000.
I mean, actually, neither have I.
Yeah,
I was like, if Belushi's in it, what? Not in it. Why?
The main thing I hear about it is the music is good and the movie is not.
Okay, so that sounds about right. All right, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do SNL movies.
I thought that
movies.
Might be a fun way to fill the hiatus.
All right. Guys, call in again.
Call in.
Just call in. Give us your thoughts.
But, yeah, this is yeah. So, this is the people calling in to the ladies' man for advice. Somebody was nervous about meeting his girlfriend's parents for the first time, and the ladies' man says, and you want to get it on with the mother.
You want to get it on with the mother?
And he also recommended a holiday called Skanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
I just love the name of that.
Yeah, that's,
that's,
And there was a thing where a guy had problem performing, and it's like, yeah, it sounds like what you have is called Scaredy Wang. you should get that taken care of, before your woman leaves you for a man with a more courageous wang.
Like myself.
Like myself.
And he was just advising everyone to do it in the butt.
Yes. And, that was his big go-to, like always, mm-hmm. just like, have you tried
no
doing it in the butt?
No matter what the problem
butt?
Was. So.
Do it in the butt. Again, sometimes Juvenile is funny, people.
Yeah. I mean, this was fun. This was a sketch that I never really got tired of and seeing it again. It's like visiting an old friend.
Yeah.
You know?
An old friend that talks about doing it in the butt.
An old perverted friend.
With a courageous wang.
Yes.
Yeah, so the next one was, is this sketch I'd never seen before? And again, this is a sketch I was talking about that didn't have anything to do with Thanksgiving.
No.
It was the Loud Family.
The Loud Family. This was an original cast sketch.
Yeah, it is an oldie.
Finally, it was like, by my count, it was 16 sketches in. We get an original cast sketch with Carrie Fisher.
Gilda Radner was in it, but Bill Murray,
Jane Curtin,
Aykroyd, and Belushi.
Belushi comes in, yeah. So Dan Aykroyd he's going on a date. Oh, and Lorraine Newman.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
And we had Dan Aykroyd. He's going on a date with the daughter, which I think was Carrie Fisher.
Right.
And the joke is the Loud Family talks too loud.
That's really the it.
That was the 70s. That was all you needed. basically the joke is they have no indoor voice.
Yeah, they're just constantly screaming. And I mean, it's very one note, like, but...
And at one point, the parents, they go off, they go up to bed, and you can clearly hear them starting to start the love time.
Get it on.
Yes.
He has a courageous wing.
Yes, yes. And then when the parents are out, they're like, okay, well, we're going to go out on our double date now. But first, and then they all, like, fire up a joint.
It looked like they actually did lit that up, too.
It was the 70s,
Like, I was looking at that, like, I saw, like, that smoke looked super real. I was like, are they actually lighting a joint or something?
It wouldn't surprise me, because...
I was like, whoa!
This is, like, late 70s and... casual drug use, that was the thing.
Were the fire laws more relaxed or something? Like,
I don't...
Is the marshal around? What is this?
I don't know. But, I mean, it was like... You find that on the original cast shows a lot, where they're doing a lot of things. They're just basically endorsing...
Yeah.
Using the drugs.
I guess
because,
so.
Because, well, nobody had really died of a big overdose yet. John Belushi was still around, so...
Yeah. Way to go, Belushi. Ruining it for the rest of
us.
They
viewed it as, like, pretty harmless.
Yeah.
It was just like, I was just looking at that, and I was like, they would never do this in a sketch today.
Oh, God, no.
Never, like, ever.
Lord, no. Even if there was, like, the old SNL scenes where, like, somebody was, like, smoking a cigarette. Mm-hmm. I look it up now, I was like, that cigarette smoke looks pretty real. They actually just smoking a cigarette on?
Well, I mean, that was also the era when you could still smoke indoors.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You could smoke in offices, you could smoke in bars, you could smoke... Yeah. It was just nonstop smoke fest.
Yeah. Just
smoking.
Yeah, just nicotine everywhere.
That's right.
Just all around us.
This kid's five. Give him a cigarette.
Give him a peck of Lucky Strike.
The 70s just straight up did not give an F.
No. I mean, Lord, no.
Because it was...
The lawless time.
It really was.
My God.
I
saw the Warriors. I know. You know how it is back then.
Because, you could... I mean, the casual drug use, AIDS wasn't a thing yet, or it wasn't a known thing, I guess I should say.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure it was around.
I mean, it was around. It wasn't mainstream yet.
It wasn't mainstream.
It hadn't hit the big time.
Yeah, we didn't have Rock Hudson, I guess, was the first person who really broke the AIDS thing.
Yeah, I guess so. But it was, oof. All right, well, we should talk about the sketch some more.
We're just talking about the lawless 70s.
The lawless, insane 70s, my God.
I mean, that's...
Bronx was on fire. People like in wearing warrior vests trying to get back to Coney Island during the subway.
I mean, The Warriors is basically a documentary, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think so. That's taken from real life.
So,
but actually, there was one part of the sketch that I did like when the Loud the daughters or the Loud family their dates came over and they were, he was talking to Bill Murray who played the father.
Right.
He's like, "Oh, you have very lovely daughters," and he said, "Thanks. We had three, but one tragically died in a skiing accident
in an avalanche."
Yeah, exactly. He's like, "Well, I'm so sorry. How did that happen?" He said, "Avalanche."
Yes.
I don't know that. Yeah. That was like, all right.
I'm sorry. I jumped on your joke there.
Yeah. I thought like, oh, that's pretty funny.
Yes. That was funny. That was funny.
Dark but funny.
I liked the John Belushi's character. He comes over, and he comes over straight from the airport, and he's got those giant earphones.
Yeah, the headphones.
The noise-canceling headphones
that
they use when they're directing the planes.
Exactly. Plane directors, I guess what they're called, or controllers. I don't, whatever the person's called at this.
Those guys with the things.
Tarmac dudes.
With the
glow sticks.
That's...
You know,
we don't want to get too technical on that, but they are called tarmac dudes.
Tarmac dudes, yes. We don't want
to tarmac dudes.
That's the technical term, guys.
Yes,
we don't want to show off our prowess, but yeah, the goal.
Yes,
yeah. Thank you for your service, guys.
But
yeah, and also this didn't have a Thanksgiving theme, which I thought was weird.
No, I guess they didn't really do any Thanksgiving sketches in the original cast or something.
I guess not.
Or I mean, I think they obviously just wanted to get the original cast in there somewhere.
Yeah, I guess so.
And
it's like, oh, it's a family. Thanksgiving has families. Done.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, it was just, I don't know.
All right. Well, whatever.
So next we went back to the 90s once again with a fake commercial for Crystal Gravy.
Yes.
Now this was another thing that's just quintessentially early 90s.
Very much so.
I guess it started with like Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. Like if you guys remember Crystal Clear Pepsi, it was basically Pepsi wanted to make this new soda where it tasted like Pepsi but it was clear, like water.
It was see-through, like Sprite or 7-Up.
Yeah, and like their thing was, they're like, oh, this is going to change the game. Revolution. Like, I remember the commercial from back in the day. It was like, oh, this is a hot new thing. This is, you'll never drink. This change your soda game forever.
And it became like a trendy thing because it was clear because you could see through it. It had this connotation of like, oh, it's pure. It's,
yeah,
it's, you know, it doesn't have. Like, somehow, because you could see through it, it doesn't have any sort of chemical additives or something.
Yeah, it's like
which
healthier.
Isn't true at
no,
all.
No, not at all. It's
But that was a thing. That was a thing that we thought in, like, 1992.
Yeah, I still think that. Like, I think, for some, like, in my mind, I think a gin and tonic is healthier than, like, a Jack and Coke.
And because you can see through it?
Yes, because it's like water. You can see through. It's like,
is that why you're drinking a gin and tonic now at, like, this, at 12:27?
Is this not water? Is it? Yes, because I'm a health nut. And I want to live a long life.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm looking out for my health.
I mean,
man.
I'm just drinking straight vodka. And
well, I guess you're healthier than me, aren't you?
I guess so.
Either that or Russian.
But yeah, the joke in this one, it was another fake commercial where it was a Crystal Gravy, and you're seeing something that's with the thickness of gravy, but you can see through it.
Being poured onto like turkey and...
Yeah,
and it looks pretty gross.
I don't know what... I wonder what that... substance actually was.
I don't know.
Because it had like I said, it had the thickness of gravy.
I'm sure like cornstarch was involved somehow in making that or something.
Wouldn't that turn it white?
I'm not a chemist, man. I don't know all these things.
I started the show with you because of your chemistry expertise, sir.
On your resume, you clearly said you were a chemist. I mean, is this, are these lies? Are you telling me lies?
I can't believe that this is how I find out that you're not a chemist.
I'm so sorry I had to find out this way on the air.
I feel so betrayed.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
But yeah, but like, it was, the commercial was very much like, if you remember the old Crystal Clear Pepsi commercial from the 90s when they had like Van Halen Right Now playing in the background.
Yes.
It was very much a play on that.
Because we had Van Halen Right Now playing on a constant loop in the early 90s.
Oh my God, that song was everywhere when it came out. Just, just right now, hey,
tomorrow,
right now. Like that thing, oh,
it's everything.
I remember not a lot of people liking that song, but for some reason that song was just everywhere.
But it was everywhere, yeah. It was omnipresent.
It's in every commercial. And yeah. It's just like, oof. But like, if you're in the 90s, that commercial, like yeah. much like the Nike Turkey commercials, like that hit hard.
If someone wanted to know what the early 90s were like, you could just show them that Nike Turkey commercial and the Crystal Gravy commercial back to back.
Yeah, very
and
much.
And you'd be like, this is what it was like.
Very much. It's also like, you ever see those old episodes of the Ben Stiller Show? Mm-hmm. When they do like a commercial parody, mm-hmm. and you could like you see the commercials they're parodying, but like, oh, that's very 90s.
Yeah.
It's very, like if you watch old episodes of the Ben Stiller Show, guys, I think they're
as opposed to all the new episodes.
It's also all the brand spanking new episodes of the Ben Stiller Show. But
it only lasted like one season or like.
Yeah, I really liked that show. Like, and now from what I remember, I was like one of the only people watching it. And like, I don't remember mm-hmm. anybody talking about it when I went to school, and I was like, yeah. am I the only person watching this awesome show? Is everybody else lame?
Didn't it air on like Sunday nights or something like that? Or?
Yeah, it was on. Well, I mean,
it aired at some weird time.
Yeah, I mean, at first they had it on MTV for a bit.
Okay.
And that was only, it was like around the same time like Jon Stewart had the Jon Stewart Show on MTV.
Uh-huh.
And then like it went on to Fox.
Right.
And, like that's when it was like Ben Stiller, Bob Odenkirk, Andy Dick, and Janine Garofalo.
Right.
And I think,
which, you know, solid cast.
It's very solid cast. I remember that being, maybe it was only on for a year. It wasn't on for very long.
I feel like it was only on for like a season or so.
Yeah, like the ratings weren't great, but I liked it a lot. They had another sketch they did called Melrose Heights 90210,
uh-huh.
which was a play in all the Beverly Hills 90210 Melrose place.
I'm looking it up.
All right, let's do it.
I'm looking it up. I'm very curious now.
How to the long Google the machine.
Ben Stiller. Show lasted. Apparently, it was like 13 episodes.
Oh, that's it?
13 episodes.
So, like a year.
Or, you know, half a season. It aired on MTV from 1989 to 1990.
Oh, and Apatow worked on that, right?
And then I think so, yeah. Then on Fox from September 92 to January of 93. Oh, wow.
That's yeah.
like 4 months.
I remember really liking that show and like...
13 episodes.
Jeez Louise. Yeah.
Theme song by Dweezil Zappa.
Oof. Wow. That's the 90th thing you've ever said.
I know. I mean, it was just quintessential 90s.
But yeah, guys, if you can find that, I know it's on like DVD and stuff, but
yep.
I remember really digging it and really liking
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I haven't watched that in for forever.
It's a great show. But yeah, it's very 90s, but.
That was fun. Whoa.
Oh, whoa. All right. Sorry. Headphones went out.
Okay. Can you still hear?
Yeah. I hear me now. Okay.
All right.
We'll let Frank take care of that.
Yeah, we may want to edit out that little glitch, whatever that was.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we seem to be broadcasting okay
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Are we...
Note the time. Okay. All right.
All right, next sketch?
Next sketch. Let me go back to my notes. Okay. Next was a talk show called Right Side of the Bed.
Right, yeah.
Which was sort of a talk show takeoff of that reality show, Cressley Knows Best, I think it was called.
Oh, right.
The joke is you have a woman with a husband, and the husband is, well, he's very obviously flamboyantly yes. gay.
But he says, I love women. I love my wife.
Yeah, and so is Taron Killam. As the super gay husband, and Cecily Strong as his wife.
Right.
And this one had Matthew McConaughey as a Cajun chef.
Right. Yeah, this was,
And Kate McKinnon as Ed Sheeran.
Oh, right, yeah.
And who's tripping on an oven cleaner.
Yeah, it's because there was too much. Oh, yeah, because A.D. Bryan, who's also in it, she's like, oh, yeah, I'll put in twice as much oven cleaner, so get mm-hmm. twice as clean.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And they did pretty decent Southern accents.
Yeah.
In this, I was impressed by their Southern accents, because, I used to live in the South, as I said before, and so fake Southern accents are kind of a pet peeve of mine. Like, I can really tell, like, when somebody's doing a bad fake Southern accent.
It's like just, when somebody from Boston hears a Boston accent.
I guess so, but just, I mean, I'm not real nuts about Southern accents to begin with, but fake Southern accents are just nails on a chalkboard, you know?
You hear the, like, you're...
But these were pretty good fake Southern accents. They didn't bother me. So,
all right.
This was cute.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
Did this have a Thanksgiving connection? Was the chef, like, making turkey or something like that?
I didn't write down it, but
I honestly don't remember this. But
yeah, that says a lot about the sketch.
I mean, it was cute.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, so that was that sketch. That was a sketch.
Husband's gay, everyone.
So the next sketch was the Your Hometown commercial, where mm-hmm. it was a pre-taped thing where they were like kind of advertising the hometown you grew up in, like as you go back for the holidays.
Right. And this was also just sort of the, like the awkward things you do
right.
when you're home to kill time, because there's usually not a whole lot going on yeah. in the suburban town your parents live in.
Exactly. Like, you know, it's like, oh, they have a fitness center, which is your old room.
Yes.
And a business center.
You see the woman on the mom on the Nordic track next to the son who's
sleeping.
Who's sleeping.
And there's also a business center, which is also your old room. And it's like dad's on a computer
right.
on the other side of the bed.
And you go by your old high school yeah. to talk to your old teachers. And then you think, why would I do that? And then you drive away. Yeah.
You could check out the new Kmart and check out where the old Kmart used to be.
And it's just this deserted shopping center. You can smoke weed in any of these places. The old railroad tracks.
The old playground.
Or this guy's hot tub.
Oh, yeah. You could see a movie by yourself. Like, I feel like, I mean, because, I mean, I still live in the Tri-State area.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I grew up around the Tri-State area. So, like, me going back home is pretty much just going 30 minutes away. But
right.
like, I imagine for people who like live in the, you know, coastal areas, the big yeah. cities, going back to like, you know, the Midwest, it's hard for them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can certainly identify with that because, like, you know, my parents, they don't live in a place where I grew up. So I don't have any.
Right.
Or my mom doesn't live. She lives in Georgia now. So I go to home to visit her in Georgia, and I'm basically just there seeing her and my other family.
Right.
And so it's not a place where I used to go to school or anything like that.
Right.
So
it's
I can identify with this, with that awkward sort of feeling.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, all right, I'll just pop around town. Yeah,
I liked this bit. It has a nice specificity to
yeah,
it, it's like, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, it's like your hometown. We'd like you to come more often, but we'll settle just for the holidays.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh.
Exactly.
Next, Garth and Kat.
On Weekend Update. Seth Meyers. This was this initially disappointed me because I see Seth Meyers at the Weekend Update desk and he's about to introduce a guest and I was like, oh, are we going to get a Stefan segment? And no, it's Garth and Kat.
Now, how do you feel? Cause I've always kind of felt the same way about this. It's like I don't know. It's
Garth and Kat. I guess we should explain what the joke is if the names aren't ringing a bell. They're a singing duo played by Fred Armisen and Kristen Wiig,
right?
Where they come on and they're supposed to sing a special song of relating right. to some theme, and they're obviously utterly unprepared,
right?
And they just end up making up a song on the spot,
right?
Where and the joke is, I think they're really improvising.
They actually are making a song up on the spot,
and they're just basically looking into each other's faces and reading each other's lips and trying
right.
to go along with
what the
other one is saying, and it goes on like that.
Yeah, a little too long.
So, yeah,
yeah, that's pretty much. Like we just did it for a second. I was like, I kind of want to be on this, but like they do it.
We've done this for 3 seconds. That's enough.
But yeah, like it's I don't know, like it's. People seem to like this one. Like, unlike the Californians, people actually seem to like this one.
Yeah, I think it was okay. I think it got maybe a little old. This one was, they had Chris Martin from Coldplay
yes.
on as their backup singer who's like singing in with them, and he's wearing a similar wig and the same white turtleneck and goofy vest.
Yeah, and I don't know, like at some point, like it doesn't become a song. It just becomes like them kind of talking over each other. Maybe that's mm-hmm. why I'm not
yeah.
wild about it, because it just becomes just them kind of talking over each other and just making noises.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it seems
you know, it's fine.
It seems silly.
It's unusual in that you don't usually see a whole lot of improvisation on Saturday Night Live.
That's true.
Because, you know, because it's a live show, they have to plan it out
right.
and time it out.
Yeah.
Very precisely.
You got to stick to the script.
Yeah, they got to know, like, oh, well, this sketch is 4 minutes long. We really need to cut a minute 20 out of it to make it fit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, those are the things they have to do.
Right.
And so.
So, I mean, like, I guess when you see, like, improv like this, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. that's interesting.
Yes.
It definitely takes you out of it a little bit, like, a little jar. Like, oh, wow, actual improv on a
mm-hmm.
sketch comedy show. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
What a concept.
So it's unusual in that regard. You know, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's
Garth
fine.
And Kat. It's fine.
Yeah.
The next one was the commercial for Autumn's Eve.
Yes, pumpkin spice douche. Which was basically because everything is pumpkin spice flavored around this time of year.
Yes.
So why not Summer's Eve?
Why not your feminine products?
Exactly. And this was I think it's a very funny fake commercial.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you have
like women like playing in the leaves and feeling fresh and
Kate McKinnon like bracing a giant pumpkin between her legs and scooping out all the pumpkin guts.
Yeah.
Talking about the Autumn's Eve pumpkin spice douche.
Yeah. And they also have the Christmas Eve peppermint douche.
Yeah.
Too.
Yes. Yes. Like, and the slogan, why should your mouth have all the fun?
Wowee.
Because I think this is funny.
I like it.
It's stupid, but damn it, it's funny. Mm-hmm. And
the final one was, of course, my love of Eddie Murphy. I've talked about it at great length on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood
sketch
at the end, which I dug, of course, as always.
Yes.
Where he brought in some groceries he stole from some woman
mm-hmm.
in a supermarket. And I thought it was hilarious.
Mr. Robinson, you know, it was one of those sketches. It was always solid.
Yeah. It's like, I wish I wrote down what he said in the beginning. Like he always sings like a little different song. He mm-hmm. talked about how he just got out of prison doing 7 to 10. Or
right,
like
right, right.
And, you know, I think he had a steak hidden in his pants too.
Oh yeah. He was talking about how it's much easier to shoplift steaks than it is like things like turkeys.
Yes. Because
you can fit them under your coat much more easily.
Exactly. And he, of course, at the end, did the thing where, like at the end of every sketch, there's always somebody banging on his door saying, "Robinson, open up! You know, I got the cops here." And so he always had that thing where he answered the door like, "Who is it?"
Yeah,
like, "What you want, man?" I don't know why.
That was always funny. I laughed when you did it just now.
Yeah, and as always, he like, "Oh, it's time to escape, boys and girls," and he leaves out the window.
Right, right. With his groceries.
With his groceries, of course.
With his groceries. Yeah. So I mean, this was a fun special. Yeah.
Ebbs and flows, like everything.
Well, like a typical episode of SNL.
Right.
You know, they had stuff we loved, they had stuff we hated, they had stuff that we're just like, okay, yeah, that was a thing.
And there was stuff like the Californians, which is like beyond hate.
Yeah. that is kind of beyond hate.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to trigger you and bring that up again.
I'm so triggered right now.
But yeah, that was a Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. Like the next day, I watched the last bit of the parade,
mm-hmm.
The Thanksgiving Day parade on NBC, and they at one point showed clips of Thanksgiving episodes of various shows. I guess they were all NBC shows.
Oh yeah,
and they showed another SNL Thanksgiving sketch that I'd totally forgotten about.
Which one?
It was one where it was like a family all
the hot air balloons
parade.
Yes, I just saw that.
I think this must have been from when Kristen Wiig was hosting, because like Kyle Mooney was in the sketch, and I know they weren't ever in the cast at the same time.
Right,
I don't
right.
think. And they're watching from this giant window, but it must have been like a green screen or something, because they have cast members playing Thanksgiving Day balloons.
Yeah,
Mikey
yeah.
Day's playing Woody from Toy Story. And Kristen Wiig was Madeline.
Right.
And the balloons sort of lose control and they start like looking at the family through the window.
And looks and like they're that was creepy.
It's a very funny visual.
It was very good. Yeah, Bobby Moynihan was like the clown from It.
Yes.
That
yes.
was creepy.
Yeah.
As all hell.
And I was like, that's a funny sketch. Why didn't they put this on the
They should have. That was a great sketch.
That was a great sketch. And also it's, you know, because it's Thanksgiving, I think. So we had a lot of sketches with like family sitting down for dinner,
because
that's what Thanksgiving's all about, and there aren't a whole lot of other Thanksgiving traditions outside of the parade, and it would have been nice to get some representation of the parade in there, you know?
Yeah, it would have been.
You know, just for variety's sake, but...
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah, so that's our podcast. I think
that was our Thanksgiving Day special. I hope you guys enjoyed it
as much as...
Absolutely. As we did.
Yeah. Oh, I thought we were doing the Garth and Kat thing.
Were
but,
we?
But yeah, no, let's, well, you know, let's talk about, we have reviews too.
We have reviews. You know, we're, the podcast is actually on iTunes now and a couple other,
we have our own iTunes things. We're also on Stitcher as well. Player FM, which I believe is a thing.
Okay.
And so, guys, check us out. Please give us, rate us, review, subscribe, leave reviews, because especially with iTunes, because with iTunes, the more reviews you leave, the more you kind of get bumped up in the ratings. So, like, when people are just searching for, like, you know, Saturday Night Live podcast, like, we're more likely to show up.
Yeah, yeah, it helps the algorithms and it boosts us and stuff. And we've actually gotten 3 reviews so far that I am seeing.
We got 3?
We got 3. I just noticed what? Another one. This one that was left on Saturday by John Bilancini.
Oh, John Bilancini. Oh, Bilancini. Yes, I know him.
Okay. He says, knowledgeable and funny, cannot recommend enough, gives us 5 stars.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Yeah, I actually did his podcast a while ago, a 1994 podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can listen to me on that, where it's a podcast literally about the year 1994.
Yeah.
You just talk about where you were at that time and what you were into, video games, movies, music, and all the like.
Excellent. Well,
thanks, John.
Thank you for that, John. We got another... one from Decomposition Brad. This is another podcast that you guest starred on.
Yes, Decomposition podcast I do with I did it with Brad and Katie.
Okay.
Yeah, and they say love it. 5 stars. These guys are great. They not only know their SNL inside out, but also have almost encyclopedic knowledge of pop culture in general.
Ooh.
They're quick and witty, and when I'm not laughing out loud. Oh, there it goes. I'm thoroughly engrossed in their conversation. So, thanks, Brad.
That's very nice.
And yeah, guys, check out the Decomposition podcast with Brad and Katie. I was on it. Basically, a podcast that's for music nerds, where they take like a cheesy song and just break it down and try to find meaning in it, you know, lyric by lyric, word by word. I did an episode where we talk about Private Eyes by the greatest duo of all time, the Hall & Oates.
Ooh,
maybe not greatest, but they're pretty damn great.
That's a great duo.
Yeah, I'm a huge Hall & Oates fan too.
Hall & Oates, yeah.
So listen to that Decomposition podcast on iTunes and the like.
Nice. And we got a third review on Wednesday from Ms. Ritu Chandra.
Yes,
another comic that we know.
Yes, I love these guys. One of my favorite podcasts. Thanks, Ritu.
That's very nice. And she has a podcast right now with our friend Ken
Krantz.
And I'm blanking on the name of it.
It's called Why Bother.
Why Bother. Great. Yes.
Yeah, that's it's just getting started. They're only like 4 episodes in. But
I think they're also on iTunes too.
Yes,
so we should.
They're on iTunes and SoundCloud. And check them out.
Yeah.
So, so that's... Oh, and also, let's talk about this, our Patreon.
Oh, yes, we have a Patreon that our producer, Frank Ablawi, asked us to talk about.
Yeah.
So we're
would talk about it if he didn't ask us, Frank. We love you, Frank. We love it here. We're happy with our label.
Yes. Don't beat us again, Mr. Ablawi. Don't beat us again.
This is not done under duress. I just want to see my family. I just want to go home.
All right. So we have
a Patreon. Yes.
You would go to non-productive.com.
Yes.
For the Patreon.
non-productive.com/SNLnerd/support. Donate to non-productive, and I believe there's a SNL rewards tier.
Yeah, you can also do it directly on Patreon. You can just go to patreon.com/nonpro, that's all one word, NONPRO, to support the network, and there are many other fine shows here.
All the fine shows help keep the lights on, keep the mics on.
There's the Near Mint podcast. Ooh. There's the non-pro podcast.
Yeah.
There's some other ones that I am forgetting right now.
Oh boy. This is where Frank will put in.
That's right. But you know, you can go to nonpro.com. You can see all the cool shows that are out there.
All the cool nerdy geekiness shows.
And if you contribute to the Patreon and you select the SNL Nerds reward tier, you will get a call out from us.
That's right.
During an upcoming show.
We will say your name.
We do not guarantee if we are going to pronounce it correctly.
We will probably butcher it.
But we will say nice things about you. It might even be sincere.
might.
I mean, I make no guarantees.
I cannot be bought.
I may secretly hate you. I have a lot of enemies.
We've made a lot of enemies in this business.
That's right.
We will put aside our disgust and disdain for you to say.
Thank you to this.
This
person. This
son of a.
In fact, if you want us to say something insulting about you, you can just indicate that when you contribute to the Patreon.
Absolutely. Just put it in the notes. We will insult.
We will happily insult you.
We will happily insult you if that's what you're into.
Yeah.
We'll insult maybe one of your friends and family members, some loved ones.
We are happy to do that. If there's some area you want us to express a distaste for in your life.
If you want us to curse out a politician, maybe a god you're not happy with.
Wow.
Are we not going that far?
Are we promising blasphemy awards? Wow.
Whatever gets the money, man. Look, we got bills to pay.
Okay.
I will curse out any god you wish.
That's right. You want. Any pantheon.
Any deity.
If you want us to say something bad about the Greek gods, the Norse gods, the Chinese gods, except, we don't care.
Except Thor. We will not curse out Thor.
Well, you know, Chris Hemsworth, he's a handsome, handsome man.
He's a beautiful specimen of a
That's right. I mean, how can you dislike Chris Hemsworth, really?
Just rippling muscles.
And, you know, also a good SNL host.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
He's a funny guy. He's got chops.
Yeah, he's like one of those guys where, like with John Hamm, where I just know him as a drama guy, but then I see him do comedy, I'm like, oh, all right.
And it's kind of unfair when someone that handsome is also that talented and that funny.
It really chaps my hindquarters.
You just got it. Wow.
Grinds my gears.
That's right. So, but I think that is about it. We talked about the Patreon. We talked about the iTunes.
Yeah.
You need to follow us on the social media. Like, please reach out to us. Let us know what you think of the show. If you have suggestions for the show, we would love to hear them.
Absolutely. We've gotten some suggestions, so we'll definitely do those in a future episode.
Yes. We're making note of all the suggestions and the feedback that you guys give us. We appreciate any sort of feedback you give us, positive or negative.
You will be heard, yes.
That's right.
Not so much negative. We're very sensitive, and we don't want
to... We're sensitive, but, you know, it's good to hear that. It's good to get some constructive criticism.
I guess. But don't seem like, you guys suck. Like, that's not critical.
I mean, we know that.
Yeah, that's true. That's just...
We're aware that we suck.
That's just a given.
I mean...
But, like, you know, if you have negative things to say, you can say it. I will allow it.
Yeah.
But more positive, because we're very sensitive.
Well, we'll read the insulting things about each other. I'll read the insulting things about you. You can read the insulting things about me.
Tit for tat.
There you go. But if you want to follow us on the social media, I can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Trumbull Comic.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible. And I got a website too, darrencredible.com. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible.
Yes. So I think that is about it. We are going to be back covering SNL, the new show, next week.
Yes, Claire Foy and Anderson .Paak.
Yes.
That's on December 1st.
December 1st, which is next weekend.
Yeah. This weekend. Time just flies by.
We're recording this on a Sunday. It's going to be up probably on a Monday.
Yeah, so we'll have a brand new episode with brand new...
coming weekend. And we're looking forward to that.
Oh, my God.
We don't know what to expect, but it's...
Chomping at the bit.
It's going to be fun.
It is. It's going to be great.
We're all a tingle.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My hindquarters are tingling.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And we will we'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.